Greetings and salutations. Welcome to the first episode of Short Tales of RPG Horror, from the Legend of Moshpit Dude to the philosophical discussion of if having racial stats makes you racist. Today's stories are certainly going to spark quite the interesting discussion. I'm your host, Critical Kunik, and let's roll for initiative and begin the first story. The Legend of Moshpit Dude, from Reddit user Kuma from ARG. Chapter 1, Moshpit Dude. In my youth, I frequented those dens of debauchery and lack of basic hygiene. Yes, anime conventions. In one of those, a small one, I encountered a lanky, buzz-shaven dude who was sitting in a fetal position in front of the stage and would only move when a band began playing. No matter how shit the band was, he stood up and began a mosh pit, even if he was alone. He would crash against the nearest wall or pillar. One time, I was unlucky to be close by, and he tried to crash against me. Unlucky for him, I used to play rugby, and I was always a big dude. He ended up falling on his ass after throwing all his weight against me. He asked me for my cell phone number and email to go mosh pitting together. You could think this was some kind of innuendo, but in reality, he only wanted to mosh pit. He wasn't a creep, just a dipshit. Chapter 2, Moshpit Dude Returns. Years later, in an RPG gaming club I visited, I decided to run a one-shot of my homebrew game. Ended up attracting much more people than I thought. It was an 8-player table, a clusterfuck as we call it in the GM world. Among the players, I recognized one face, surrounded by a buzz cut and flies from lack of showering. It was the mosh pit dude. Internally, I was like, fuck, 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 but I tried to keep my poker face, hoping he wasn't as weird in RP table as he was in events. I was wrong. He ignored any attempt of conversation, character interaction, puzzles, or traps. He would only talk in combat. And even when his character had a variety of different possible actions, he only headbutted enemies. You know what's worse? He was surprisingly effective. But he got more and more invested only in combat, so he began interrupting other players during non-combat encounters and jumped into the fray headfirst, starting most of the fights. 5 minutes after the third time he ignored the team's wishes, we took a break, and I told him that the other players were complaining about his actions. He said he understood, and he would try to measure himself. 1 minute back in the game. I headbutt the Oni. 2 minutes back in the game. Wait. Don't kill me, guys. I'm being useful. 3 minutes back in the game. F*** you guys. You don't know how to play. He made a tantrum, attempted to tip the table, failed, and left grumbling, leaving his backpack, dice, and other stuff on the table. End post. Well, that was certainly quite the journey that the OP sent us on, and definitely a tricky one to begin with. Dealing with more than like 3 or 4 people at a table is definitely a challenge for, I want to say, any DM, but to have them be complete randoms, that adds a level of complexity that I would not be a fan of personally. Now, who's at fault here? Because I actually don't think it's the Mosh Pit dude that's at fault, and I don't think it's OP either. I think it's whoever let Mosh Pit dude headbang and mosh pit to the point of self-lobotomy. That's not good for your head, folks, and he's clearly been doing it for quite a while. But jokes aside, what would I suggest to the OP here? Well, the way he initially handled it, I think, works to an extent, and Mosh Pit dude was clearly very confrontational over it. But perhaps a better solution would be to work with the character itself. He was not wanting to interact with any of the other players outside of combat, and specifically tried to gear everything towards combat for that sole purpose. Talk with him and ask him why. Why don't you want to converse outside of that? Most of the fun in D&D is not necessarily the combat, it's the roleplay. And anyone that's checked out the Dice Goblins podcast that I've done with a few other YouTubers will know that, you know, we'll spend a 2 or 3 hour episode strictly on the roleplay because it's what's fun to us. And for most people, that's likewise the case. And I really think that this character could work in a super serious setting. Take this scenario as an example. One NPC and two party members.
Ah, sir,
You look like a spruce set of adventurers. I don't know how to ask this. My daughter has gone missing. I suspect it's a local bandit. Would you be able to assist?
By my oath, we will find her.
And then just picture in the background, a dude just headbanging and like going crazy in the background.
Yeah, dude, we'll find her. Tell us what we need to know.
Maybe like a little bit of Macho Man Randy Savage in there as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ham it up a little bit. I think that could be a lot of fun. But for someone that's new to D&D, they wouldn't necessarily know that they can go into that kind of duality to a party. A lot of people think it's just super serious, just super comedic, and there can't be a good balance of teammates for that. But again, I'm not necessarily going to fault the OP. He had a lot of players to handle and may not have just had the time or patience to do it for this one guy. And clearly at the end of the story, he saw himself out as it was. Anyhow, onwards to story number two. Bloodthirsty Lone Wolf draws out sessions, eventually ending the campaign. By Reddit user MHM. Alrighty then. I'm a newer DM to D&D 5e. I used to run in person a lot, but since COVID, it has mostly been online. I read a lot about Strixhaven and was really inspired. I spent a solid few months picking and choosing what to use and curating a whole new world and school that was to my liking. I don't like using published material because I never feel like I have enough knowledge about it. Anywho, I started my hunt for players. I, a 20-something-year-old female, was trying to get a group that wasn't mostly guys, just because it was something that I've never had before. I gathered a few players, but one drops out and it ends up being another girl and three guys. Fine. I want to run this, so I'm going to. I create characters with these people and make sure to mention that this is a lighthearted campaign. Nothing really to the death. It's like going to magic school and having fun. Everyone is on board. Then, the last guy. He wants to play a changeling rogue. Sounds cool. I'll do it. He's adopted by a pirate goblin. It's all fun and games with his background. We get to the playing, and the first session, he wants to go find drugs to sell to the people on campus. Okay, not really the vibe. But, all right. He continually would separate from the party to go off and either get drunk or smuggle. I tried to explain to him he's a level 1 character with little to no connections, so he needs to start small if he wants to get a smuggling business going. I was trying to deter him, but he said that a changeling feature was that he always knew someone everywhere he went. So fine. I made up some connections and tried to keep the focus on the players that were exploring the wonders of the school I put in front of them. Then he tricks another player, Elf, to help him rob a tavern. Then he changes his identity so he can't be traceable. So I can't really within reason give him consequences for his actions. At this point, the player had started many arguments with the players about what they should be doing. He also would stop joining the voice calls and only text. When confronted, we found out he would play while being at work. Interesting. The final straw was during the field trip. They were trekking through a forest and got ambushed by a group of goblins. The same player, Elf, tries to reason with them as they are screaming about how bad people are bringing bad things. This guy decides to shoot the goblin in the foot. Combat ensues and they run away, except one gets trapped. Again, Elf tries to talk, but this guy decides to shoot the goblin point blank in the temple. The characters start to argue, then we as a group just decide to take a break from the game for a few sessions. And now we haven't played in like 4 months. End post. Okay, there's a time and place to be an edgelord, and that's not here. The OP very clearly stated that this is to be a lighthearted campaign. I wouldn't expect drugs, I wouldn't expect smuggling, backstabbing, or anything of the sort from a thief in a lighthearted campaign. If anything, I would expect like more mischievous thiefy things, like you pickpocket someone and instead of like taking money, you like replace or shift around the things in their pockets to confuse them. That would be what I would expect in this kind of a campaign, not what this guy is displaying. And then, on top of being an edgelord, he also just happens to be a murder hobo by the look of it. And it doesn't even make sense with what he's doing here towards the end of the story. He point blank murders a goblin. In his own backstory, he was rescued by a goblin as a kid. You would think that he would be a little bit apprehensive about being just bloodthirsty against goblins. It doesn't really make sense for his backstory. And unfortunately, it seems like what usually happens in these kind of scenarios happened. The DM did not want to confront the guy and just kind of let him play how he wanted to play. Personally, I would not have accepted him to be playing text only in a voice game. That's not exactly cool. It really takes everyone else out of the moment if they have to wait for you to type something to them. Doesn't make sense. Now, it could make sense if he's trying to do something stealthy and texting something to the DM. I've done that before, but to only play text only is a little suspicious. And then as it turns out, he was playing at work. Again, not the best scenario. So in short, the player simply would not have worked out for the party, in my opinion. But the OP should have definitely tried to talk with him first to figure out if there's anything that they can do to be more accommodating to his time and to work out his edgelord murder hobo tendencies. Onwards to the next story. Because racial stats are racist. By Reddit user AccomplishedBug143. Didn't think I'd be posting here again, but here I am. Anyway, about 6 months ago, my friends invited me to a one-off Discord server. It's where I do most of my DMing now, cause scheduling is a pain. I made a post to run a fantasy old western style bank heist, something I thought would be silly and simple to do. I got 4 players on board and we started fleshing out some characters. Only one problem player, whom I will call Kate. I brought up that, in this setting, there would be certain races that were more common than others, to let them blend in more if they wanted. No one seemed to mind it, but Kate then asked if I could exclude racial stats from the game. Needless to say, I was confused, but I told them no. Personally, for a game, I feel like racial stats just add a bit more reason for variety in your choices. Kate then proceeded to plead her case about how racial stats are inherently racist and toxic to the game. After listening to her ramble about specific scenarios where racial stats don't make sense, I told her that she could make a character that didn't have racial modifiers at all, but if my other players wanted to play their race as is, they could keep the modifiers in play. This apparently was the wrong move and pissed her off more. It was at this point that people started to clock out after 2 players dropped. I just left the call while Kate was mid-rant. Definitely not the most crazy story, but I didn't know that people were so heated about racial stats outside of game balance. End post. Okay, look. I know some people get very sensitive when you bring up race in any capacity, but what I think a lot of new players need to know is races in D&D are legitimately completely different races of beings. They're not just like slightly different skin colors, they're entirely different humanoids. Therefore, it makes total sense for them to have different stats. You know, if there was a sentient kangaroo, I would expect it to be able to punch and jump a lot better than I can, but probably have a little bit less intelligence. That makes sense to me. So we're just gonna snuff that right there. It is unfortunate that it ended up ruining the game. Now, given that it is a Discord server, it would be nice to at least try to discuss with her and get her to see why having racial stats makes total sense. Just from like a logical standpoint, like I said, from a thematic standpoint, still totally makes sense. She seems to not have an understanding that we're not talking about different skin colors, which would be very offensive. If there was a white humanoid and a black humanoid, same race, and one had better stats than the other, yeah, I'd be pretty mad too and I wouldn't want it. But it seems like there's a misunderstanding of race in the sense of D&D. Anyhow, I don't want to touch any more of this with a 10-foot pole, so let's move on to the next story. DM argues that picking a lock is performance. By Reddit user RPGHorrorTA213231. Can I ask you a question about the rules? Go ahead. Alright. I was just wondering why I keep rolling charisma checks to pick locks rather than dexterity. Is there a reason charisma is used for lockpicking in your game? Well, in simple terms, the act of using lockpicks is generally just rolling a d20 and adding your proficiency bonus. As there is no actual check, so I make it a performance check for the aesthetic of performing diligent work, either under pressure or in silence, as it feels the most appropriate otherwise. I would simply have you roll a d20 plus proficiency, and that takes away from the fun and immersion, in my opinion. Would you rather just roll a d20? If so, we can do that. Performance is used for stuff like singing a song or telling a story. Plus, there is a check for picking locks in the rules. It's thieves' tools plus dexterity plus proficiency. That's the whole point of thieves' tools. And then the DM links a roll 20 piece, where the roll 20 page for thieves' tool only says d20 plus proficiency. You do not add dexterity in any fashion, unfortunately. And in any case, performance is used in many aspects besides song and dance. Like I mentioned earlier, if you would prefer, I could just have you roll a d20 plus proficiency to pick locks, if that would be simpler for you. Page 120 of the DM's guide, and in a little circle bit, it does say, use dexterity checks for thieves' tools. That's for traps, not locks. It actually did say thieves' tools. Either way, I don't understand how charisma is used for lockpicking. Am I trying to persuade the lock to unlock? Shouldn't I need to be dexterous to be able to pick a lock? Also, what about gloves of thievery? Why do they mention dexterity checks to unlock locks if they don't exist? It says nothing of charisma either. No, you're not trying to persuade the lock. But you're putting confidence in yourself that you know what you're doing. And you have nothing to worry about, otherwise being dexterous doesn't help you. If you don't have the confidence to back up your capabilities, that would be like saying, oh, I want to cast Fireball without ever learning the spell. But I have the knowledge in knowing the spell, so I should be able to just do it. If you want to get down to the nitty-gritty of it, yes. End post. The best part about this is that the very first comment completely debunks the DM's opinion here. By Reddit user ConstantCount9497, the easiest way is to show them the text block for a lock. It says, a key is provided with the lock. Without a lock, a creature proficient in thieves' tools can pick the lock with a successful DC 15 dexterity check. Your DM may decide that better locks are available for higher prices. So right there in the rules, DC 15 for most locks, unless it's very expensive. I don't really understand what the DM was going on about either. Where would they get it that thieves need charisma to pick locks? I don't understand the logic behind that. Regardless, I think this is one of those cases where rules lawyering does make sense. That said, the DM is the DM and they can make whatever rules they want, but they need to provide logic to it. And he tried to provide some logic, but then he tried to fight it by saying, well, the rules don't say you can't do this, so I'm just adding to it. And it really just showed that he didn't know the rules. And I think most people out there would understand that thieves' tools are used by thieves, which primarily use dexterity and not charisma. So why would they need charisma to pick a lock? It just doesn't make sense. And honestly, I don't think there's much else to say beyond that. It's pretty cut and dry here. The DM was in the wrong and he refused to see reason. So as the player, maybe reevaluate being at that table. I don't know. It's kind of a tough situation. Wish we knew a little bit more, but with the knowledge we do have, we do know that the DM is a little on the stubborn side. So OP, use that information however you want. All right, thank you for tuning into the very first episode of Short Tales of RPG Horror. Again, I'm your host, Critical Kunik. If you're hungry for more stories, you can always find them on my YouTube channel. That's youtube.com/CriticalKunik. Link is also going to be in the podcast description. And real quick, because this is the first episode, I do want to apologize for the inconsistencies in audio quality. It's something I'm still honing in. And I know every story probably sounded just a little bit different because I've been testing different audio settings on each of the stories. This is more of a testing episode than anything. That said, if you like the stories and you want to hear more of them, be sure to follow the podcast wherever you're tuning in. And yeah, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day and a fantastic rest of your week.